Welcome to the Full of Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 7:30 British Summer Time. Interesting day here today. But before I say another word, I have to apologize. I feel like an absolute numpty for turning off the volume on last night's audio and not turning it back on again. Again, my apologies for that, and I'll try and cover the ground today that that I also covered last night. Just a quick update on David's health. I went to see him this morning with a big sheaf of charts, which we had a quick look through. And he's still obviously as interested in the markets as ever, and very keen to keep involved. And the things that he was particularly interested in were the yen and the dollar index, because he quite rightly called the bottom in the dollar a couple of weeks ago, and he's been long of the yen since, and that's also acting as a hedge for many of his other positions. So he's very keen to keep an eye on that one. So if there's any big moves in that, I'll be on the phone to him pretty much immediately. But that's pretty much the main thing that he's looking at. He was also yesterday very interested in what silver was doing, because he has buy orders underneath the market under 7, and he has sell orders on rallies. So at the moment, silver is absolutely dead flat on the day, hasn't done a thing. So there won't have been any trading action there at all at all. Looking at gold is up 189. It's at 427.24, and again, that's really pretty steady action. I think that's pretty much on the back of a little bit of dollar weakness in here today. The euro is up marginally, has been up as high as 129.10, but at the moment it's down to 128.77, so down a little bit from the high, but pretty much flat on the day. It's been a very calm day, really, on the precious metals and on the currencies. That can't really be said, though, for the industrial metals. And the industrial metals are fairly mixed. Most of them are pretty tame. However, nickel has rallied $700. It's currently sitting at 16,400. There is a contango. Excuse me, no, there isn't. There's a backwardation of $235, which isn't a great amount, especially in a contract that's so large. But it is looking very perky. It really does look like something has lit a fire under nickel. I had a look at the news just to see if I could find any reason for it, and apparently this is seasonally a time for low inventories in nickel. So seasonally, it's a strong period for the price, and that is very much a dynamic there today, considering that for the last 6 weeks it's traded in a range pretty much from 15,200 up to 16,300, 350. Well, it's pretty much gone from just under halfway up the range to breaking out above the range today. If we see a little bit of follow through tomorrow, that's looking very good. Unfortunately, the highs are at just over 17,000, so there's not a whole pile of upside. And like I was saying yesterday, with the dollar's rally not yet over, these metals are liable. They are at risk from a correction. So they're not really, none of them are at a buying, in really a buying range at the moment. It's just that little bit too risky when the dollar's future is that little bit uncertain. Just looking at the dollar index right now, it is a little bit down on the day, 0.03. It's at 84.63, but that still looks very steady, and it does look like over the next week or 10 days that it's going to take out that high that was set back in February. Overall, sort of just for new subscribers, our big picture view is that the dollar has not yet made its low in this down market, but that at the moment it's in a ranging period which could be quite lengthy, could go on for at least until the end of the year, but we will see some pretty big moves, and this is very much range trading between the sort of 80 and 86 level. Again, that's a very big range, but it's also going to have a lot of length to it. It's going to last for quite a long time. But we were never in the dollar collapse camp. So that's pretty much what's happening in the dollar. I'll just have a quick look at what the yen is doing since I posted those charts there today. And the yen is up half a yen. It's 108.64 at the moment. And there was a little bit of tail on the candle earlier on today where it dropped below 108 but bounced straight back up again. And that's pretty bullish because there's demand coming in when it goes below 108. So that's pretty good, because if there wasn't demand, that would have indicated to us that there was maybe trading stops at 108, and they would have hit those stops and fell down. So it's telling us that there is demand. It's quite bullish. We could well go up and test the 110 level. That's a sort of a round number, and there has been some prior support and resistance there in the past, namely between sort of July and September. So the yen is looking quite good. Just looking at the stock markets, and the stock markets are looking are all very steady. The one really of note is the Swiss market, and that was up 54, nearly 55 points today, almost 1% at 6,002. That's a nice dynamic coming up towards the highs. I had a click through today, and I was looking for stocks, or sorry, for indices that were making new highs, and globally I only found three, and that's the CAC that touched a new high today, and the OMX, the Swedish market, which also touched a new high today, and the MIB, which is also starting to make new highs. Interestingly, those are all European stocks or European indices. So nothing in developing, nothing in the US. And what that's really saying is that as liquidity is drawn out of the market, Europe is holding up that little bit better. Than the other markets, and we can see that from the charts. Most of the European indices have pretty much maintained their uptrends. So it's still telling us that Europe is probably a hold, not really a sell, whereas there is that little bit more doubt about what's happening in the US. Even today, where the Dow is up 47 at 10,505, and the S&P up 5 at 1186, and the Nasdaq up 6 at 2006. Well, that's still a pretty good action, but it hasn't really shown us that it's going to rally off this bottom that we've seen over the last couple of days. And it would really need to put in sort of a dynamic, or to break the highs, which are pretty much about another 50 or 60 points in the Dow above this current level. So, there's still a little bit of doubt as to what the US is doing. That's pretty much feeding through into Asia, where the markets were pretty quiet today. The SET index, I'll just pull that chart up, was up. Sorry, it was down a little bit. It's at 681.66, so down marginally. Again, still finding support at. Hold on, that must have been closed. Sorry, that's this yesterday's price, so it must have been closed today, down marginally. And the Sensex index, that was up a little, up 56 at 6,606. Again, that's pretty much a ranging type pattern. There's a lot of resistance up there at 7,000, because it's pretty much broken its uptrend consistency. It's gone from a very consistent uptrend to pretty much going sideways between 6,000 and 7,000 for the last 3 months. And we would need to see the high taken out at 7,000. If we are going to continue in this ranging pattern, we might see these maybe failed breakouts at 7,000, then it would go back down and test between 6,000 and 6,500, and then pop back up, maybe make a new high. This is turning into really a very difficult difficult environment to make money. Now, I just have a quick look at the oil price, because that was just down a little bit today. It's been pretty volatile. The low of the day was at 55.30, and the high was at 56.90. So, really quite volatile there. But the thing is that while it has made a new high and it came straight off that high, the support at 55, all that activity that we saw last week, where it was sort of hovering just under 55, that served to unwind almost completely the overbought condition that had been built up since February. So there's plenty of upside potential on oil, but obviously this is a very nervous market with just about everything being affected by oil. So the thing to really keep an eye on is what is the what are people thinking about oil. We are hearing, this there was that Goldman Sachs report out last week that was forecasting $105 oil. Well, they're not the only people making assumptions about where oil is. If we see maybe the oil companies coming out and saying that they think that their target for oil is going to be in the 40s as opposed to in the 20s or in the early 30s where they have it now, or if we see some of the other analysts coming out and saying, $100 oil, $90 oil, $80 oil, well, that's going to be pretty bearish. But at the moment, when, as far as I can see, there are still some really very even sentiments out there, where some people think it's going to go way up and some people think that this is really the top. That does leave the door open for some upside potential, but we'll have to watch the charts. If it were to break below the low set last week around 52.50, that really would sort of spell at least the short-term end of this current rally, but we haven't seen that quite yet. Natural gas today was absolutely flat on the day, so there's not a lot to say about that, other than that it is still in pretty much an uptrend. I also wanted to talk about wheat, because wheat has been absolutely hammered over the last sort of 10 to 15 days. And while it's not exactly just yet into a buying range, it's definitely getting that way, and so are some of the other grains. Wheat fell for 7 days in a row. It's up a little bit today. It's up three at 314 and a quarter. That's finding some support at 310, where there was a little bit of resistance before, but these things are coming back into a buying range, and if they get any weaker, especially with wheat, where it really has fallen way back, almost right back down to the base formation that we saw back between December and February, it's definitely a buy along the bottom of that range. We just pull up the front month soybean contract, and that one hasn't fallen nearly as much, and it's definitely in a buying range in this area. Of course, there is the risk that it's going to fall below 600 and maybe go down and test the bottom of the range, but and the bottom of that range is sort of between 500 and 550, but it doesn't look to me like that's what it's going to do. Ideally, we'd like to see a dynamic on the upside that would really tell us that this sort of messy downward activity we've seen over the last 6 weeks, or sorry, 3 weeks, is over. But then, of course, it would be too late to buy. I would think that as close to 600 as you can buy it is probably the advisable thing to see. Let me just also look at the sugar contract, because I put that up yesterday. I can't remember if I talked about that after I cleared my throat or not. But the sugar contract is very much in a sort of a ranging toppy kind of, well, not really toppy, but a rangy type of pattern. It found a little bit of support yesterday at 840, and it's sort of come down a lot slower than it has in the past. So that's a sign that there is some sort of demand there. This might well have been the last of the failed breakouts from this range, and it might break out the next time. But as we can see, that any of these commodities that are really getting hit down, When they start approaching the bottom of the range, they are coming into to buying opportunities. Is that that it's at that time when you feel most bearish. That's probably when the buying opportunities really do exist. With that in mind, I think that's pretty much it for me. I'd just like to thank you all again for all of the emails. There has really has been an absolute stream of them coming through, and Joanna, our subscriptions manager, has printed off a lot of them. I've brought them over to David, and they really have heartened him and raised his spirits. He said to thank you all, and I'd like to thank you all as well. And I wish you a very good evening. Thanks very much.